Tonight we want to talk in a way that we don't normally talk. So if you're new here, if you're a visitor here, then you just need to bear with us a little bit because it is our second birthday and it's a chance for us not only to celebrate but to look back, to reflect on where we've come from and why we do what we do. Why are we doing this? Now, if you've been around, then you'll know the bare facts. 2 years ago, we got to the point where Woodlands Church, our home church, our main church, has just got so full we couldn't pack any more people in on a Sunday evening, and so we needed somewhere else just for capacity. But actually, we need to have a sense of purpose and vision about what we're doing here as Metro. It can't just be we're an overflow venue or we just did it because it was the right circumstances. We need purpose. What I want to talk to you about tonight is purpose. The fact of the matter is that every single person needs purpose. And so I'm going to talk about purpose, I'm going to talk about our purpose individually, and I'm going to talk about our purpose corporately as a church, because you need purpose, we all need purpose, we all need something to live for. Now, what I want you to do before I go any further is I want you to just think, do you know the name, the first name of your granddad? Okay, just think about that, and then turn to the person next to you and tell them the name of your granddad. Okay, right, back to me. Now, put your hands up if you were able to say and tell the name of your granddad. Put your hands up. Okay, now turn to the person next to you again and tell them the name of your granddad's father. Okay, now, put your hands up if you didn't know the name of your granddad's father, the first name. Okay, that's pretty much everyone. Put your hands up if you did know their name. Okay, we've got two people. We've got Matt Crossman, who's interested in history. His grandfather was the Archduke of Wellington. The fact of the matter is that the vast majority of people here, you don't even know the name, the first name of your granddad's dad. In other words, this is the moral of the story. And this is going to sound shocking, and I'm going to put it bluntly and baldly like this, and I don't want you to just get too freaked out, but this is the fact of the matter. No matter how much you do, no matter how powerful you are, no matter what you do in life, unless you are one of the one in, I don't know, 1,000 or 10,000 people that become a historic figure, within three generations, you'll be forgotten, even by your family. Even the people that you have created, your descendants, they won't know who you are. In other words, in a few short years, in a few decades, I told you it was shocking. But I want us to think like this, because in a few short years, you need to know that no one will care about that brand new car that you got, that you were so over the moon about, that you tried to get it, you looked for it, you wanted it. No one will care in a few years' time about that promotion that you got at work. No one will care about your shiny new phone. No one will care how much money you made. No one will care how many lovers you kissed. No one will care about all these things that you care about. And that should be a sobering thought to us, because we live lives that intrinsically we want to have purpose. We want to have meaning in life. We want our lives to matter. And the fact of the matter is that the world that we live in tries to give us purpose. And some of us were lucky enough to work jobs that have a sense of purpose. Maybe you do something and you're really helping people, you're really making a difference to people's lives. Maybe you can say, because of my job, someone is alive right now. Or because of my job, someone is able to do life better. Or because of my job, the world is a safer place than it would have been if I wasn't doing my job. But most of us, the jobs that we do, they're basically about paying the bills and just getting by and hopefully doing something that we're good at. But purpose, and you can say that you have a purpose with the family that you're a part of or the person that you love. And again, that's a great purpose. It's a noble thing. It's a good thing. But here's the thing. I know this about you, and you need to know this about yourselves. We are made for bigger purposes than just our own small lives. If purpose is going to work for you, it's got to be bigger than you. We all of us need to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We all of us have a desire to make a mark, to make something of our lives. Every kid that you see, you speak to them when they're a kid, when they're metro babies. You say to them, what do you want to be when you grow up? They will say great things. You know, I want to be a world champion footballer. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a transformer, whatever it is. Kids, they are born. When you were a kid, you were born. When you were a metro baby or just a baby baby, you were born with a sense of, I want to make my life count. I want to do something. I want to have meaning. I want to fulfill some grand design. And when we get up, we get that beaten out of us. It's almost as if the world says, well, just do something and have a little modicum of purpose from it in a small kind of way. But the rest of the time, go enjoy yourself. Have pleasure. Have fun. Indulge yourself. And the world is very, 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 very good at giving us entertainment. They say that we live in the age of peak TV. Well, whoopee-doo. We can now watch great television programs. But there's more to life than Game of Thrones and Love Island. There's more to life than the entertainment that we get. Sorry if I'm... I told you it's going to get a little bit intense tonight. Because we need purpose. And so much of what culture offers us is not purpose. You know, entertainment, pleasure, going out, having a holiday, social media. Nothing wrong with these things. They're all wonderful things. They're all a necessary part of life. But it's not purpose. It's a pastime. Do you know what a pastime is? Something that you use to pass the time. And if you don't have purpose, then all you're doing with your life is you're just passing the time. It's really important that we have purpose. And it's really important that the purpose that we have ties into something bigger than ourselves. If your purpose is just, I want to make it to the top of my career, wrong. Your purpose is not big enough. It won't ultimately satisfy you. Trust me. The world is full of people who fulfilled their goals for themselves and still found themselves unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and empty, and disappointment, disillusioned on the inside. And if your goal is just, I want to get lots of money, or I want to be comfortable, I want to have a nice life, a nice family, a nice house, a nice washing machine, it's not enough. It's not enough. We were made for purpose. You were made for something bigger than you. And the only way that we can achieve the purpose that we want is if we commit ourselves and give ourselves to something bigger than ourselves. And that's why something like what we have started to create here with Metro, this community, this little fledgling baby community, is important for all of us because it allows us to be part of something bigger than us. We can partake and we can be part of something which is greater than just our individual concerns. I'm not saying that those individual concerns are wrong or bad or to be looked down upon or sniffed at. But what I am saying is that every single one of us, you know this, we have that yearning. The Bible says deep calls to deep. And there's a deep place inside of you. And it cries out. It's echoing. It's looking for something deep out there in the world at large. We can be part of no bigger and no better purpose than the purpose of Jesus Christ. And I just want to go through, because that is ultimately what Metro is about. We're simply about being part of Jesus's ultimate purpose. His ultimate purpose for humanity, his ultimate purpose for his followers. And Jesus, he gave it. He put it in a nutshell. He summarized it very neatly. We call it the Great Commission. He did it at a point where he gathered his disciples together and he had risen from the dead. He had died on the cross. He had lived this perfect life. He had done miracle upon miracle. And now, as he is in front of them, before them, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he says to them, right, this is my purpose for you. This is what I have for you. This is what I want you to do. A grand purpose, a grand destiny, something that is magnificent, something that is transcendent, something that is eternal. He turns to his disciples and he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Everyone say, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's only one commandment in that phrase that Jesus uses, in those couple of sentences. And that one commandment is the one that we all said together, make disciples, make disciples, make disciples. When Jesus had beaten death, when Jesus had risen back to life again, when Jesus had conquered everything that comes against human beings, sickness, depression, death itself, he said, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to make disciples. I want you to make disciples as you go to people. And then as you baptize them into this new community, this family, give them a symbol. And as you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Make disciples is Jesus' commission to us. Jesus gives us a great purpose. You can have no greater purpose than to be caught up in the purpose of Jesus Christ, because it's the purpose of God himself made manifest in the person of Christ. Now, four things that you find that happened with disciples. First of all, disciples, they have to find Jesus. You can't become a disciple of Jesus if you don't know who he is, if you don't know what he's like, if you haven't met him, experienced him. And so with the early disciples, the Bible tells us, looking at the Gospel of John, it says that when the disciples got near to Jesus, they heard from others, from John the Baptist, people that were proclaiming who Jesus was. And they began to be curious about him. Two disciples, one was called Andrew, they started following Jesus. They spent a day with him. And at the end of it, it says this, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So the first thing about making yourself a disciple is to find Jesus. And then the first thing that you want to do is to help other people find Jesus. You bring people to Jesus. And again, if someone has brought you here, you're not used to church, or you're getting back into church, maybe it's been a while, maybe let it slip, maybe let it slide. You just need to know that that's what it's all about, finding Jesus, discovering who he is, finding out how wonderful he is, how he changes everything, how he absolutely revolutionizes our life. There's nobody like Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, and death could not hold him. You find Jesus. But the second thing that Jesus said, once people had found him and they started to become his disciples, he said this, I want you to love one another. Love one another. When he gathered together in the upper room, his disciples, at the time of the Last Supper, which you've seen in the pictures and the paintings, he said this to them, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. That's the mark of a disciple. He says, I'm giving you a command. If you hear Jesus give a command to disciples, say this is kind of the key thing, a new command, then you need to pay close attention. And Jesus says, okay, this is the command. What's it going to be? Here's the command, read your Bible. No, it doesn't say that. Here's the command, pray like every day, tons and tons. No, that's not the command. Here's the command, go to church meetings. No, it's not the command. These are great things. These are powerful things. These are really important, key, crucial things. He didn't command them. He says, here's a command, love one another. You go, whoa, 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 hang on. You can't command me to love somebody. But that's like a logical, it just doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction in terms. You can't command love. You can't command me to like Marmite. You can't command me to love another person. Actually, Jesus says, love as I have loved you. That word that the Bible uses for how he loves us, agape. Agape, it basically means other-oriented, self-sacrificial, choice-based love. It's not about you, it's about the other person. It's not about what you get out of it, it's self-sacrificing, self-giving. And it's choice-based, so you can choose. I can choose to love another person. I can choose to serve them. I can choose to be kind to them, be gracious to them. I can choose to put them ahead of myself. I can choose to love. And that's what Jesus did. He says, this is what disciples do. They're not just holier-than-thou Joe people sitting in a little room, eating a carrot, reading the Bible. These are people in community. These are people who gather together. These are people that do family together. Our culture, our society, it wants community now, maybe more than ever. We're more lonely. We're more separate. We're more isolated than we've ever been. Our families are less strong. Our communities are less sticky. And Jesus comes in with this radical thing. I'm commanding you to love one another. Not just the ones like you. Not just the ones that you'd naturally get on with, you know, anyway. Well, great for you. That takes no issue. I'm talking about loving those that you wouldn't necessarily choose to be with. I'm talking about loving those that you are put together with to find me. But then he talks, and this is really, really interesting, because you find Jesus and then you're loving one another. And then Jesus talks about following him. Follow Jesus. Now, if you're reading the Bible, you'd be surprised, and I really encourage you to read the Gospels particularly. If you're new to church, download the apps, total free, read the Gospels. The weird thing is that Jesus does all these things with disciples, and the disciples are around, and they're believing in him, and they're beginning to love one another. And then halfway through these books, a little bit further on, not at the very beginning, he now talks to them about following him. What does that mean? He says this: on one occasion, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. So a crowd of people, they're all, well, they are already following him. And he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. In other words, I'm not just about belief, Jesus says. I'm not just about changing your mind. I'm not just about making you a holy person or a religious person or a church person. I'm about radically changing the way that you do life fundamentally. I want you to deny yourself, to give up, to take up your cross. Live like a dead man. Live like a dead woman. Live like you've got nothing else ahead of you in your future. You don't buy a dead man, a brand new whatever, because they don't need it. And Jesus says, I want you to radically follow me. Follow me at a deeper level. Follow me with greater commitment. Follow me when it really, really costs you. And then he talked about serving others, serving the world. He was able to say to his disciples, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Everyone say, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus says, this is my whole deal. I didn't come so that you bow down and serve me, but I came to serve you. And those that follow me must serve the world. We cannot make this a private, personal religion. It can't just be something which is kept to ourselves. It has to be something that is for the benefit of those outside these four walls. We have to serve the world. And that purpose of Jesus, that's what we've been looking to do with Metro. We've been looking to find and to love and to follow and to serve. So if we think about the way that we find Jesus, the key way that we've done that over the last couple of years is actually through Alpha. And Alpha is the course, some of you have done it, many of you have done it. It runs over 10 weeks. We do it every single term, and it helps people who have got questions about life, questions about faith, to engage with those questions, to get together, to have a great meal, listen to a great talk, and then discuss things with other people who are in the same position, the same boat. It's not a happy Christian club. It's a club of cynics, doubts, skeptics, atheists, and all kinds of crazies. And we come together, and we ask the big questions, and then we find Jesus. They're not really crazy. I take that back. Some of them are. And Alpha is something that we do every term. We're going to do that again this term. We start our Alpha course in 4 weeks. It's going to be the first Wednesday of October. That's October the 4th. And it'll carry on every Wednesday for 10 weeks right through to December. And in that time, you get to go on a bit of a journey. You go to the first one. You don't like it. Just don't go back. You didn't pay any money. You don't lose anything. You've got nothing to lose. But many people have found Jesus. They found Jesus there. And we've seen people come to faith, and we've seen people being baptized. This year alone, we've baptized, and you would have seen them, many of you here, 12 people we baptized. We did 4 of them in a tank right here. First time, we had to do a risk assessment, method statement. It was, the museum was freaking out. They're like, you want to do what? Well, it's like a hot tub. But we baptized 12 people. In October, another 5 people want to be baptized. We're going to baptize them here as well. Because people are finding Jesus and they want others to know that they have found something worth following. And if you want to get baptized and if you want to do an Alpha course, then do it. You literally have nothing to lose and everything to find. So that's find. It's been great, and we've been really strong on this. When it comes to love one another, actually, when we started Metro, we just had this Sunday evening. We just met together, and sometimes we go out to the pub, but we didn't have much of a developed community. Well, from the next few months, we started to develop our hubs. And in hubs, it's a place where you can be known. You come here on a Sunday, there's, you know, it's not heaving. Wait till the students come back. But even so, there's a lot of people. But you get together in a hub, a midweek group, just meeting in a cafe or in someone's house, or in, sometimes there's pubs. We've got hub pubs, pub hubs with hubs and subs, the leaders in a pub, hub, sub. But we have these things, and people are learning to love one another and be loved, to be vulnerable with one another, and to build something of community where we're doing life and we're asking and we're supporting one another. And we've been pretty good on that. And again, if you are not in a hub, we want you to be in a hub. Right now, of the 125 people that are kind of, that call Metro their home, around about 72 are in hubs. So just over half of all of us meet in a midweek expression of church on a weekly basis. That's a great thing, but we want everybody to be in a hub. But we've established them. We've got student hubs. We've got hubs meeting in different parts of the city. It's all great stuff. So loving one another is something that increasingly we're doing. And you know that some of you, you've come here, you've made friends for life, and you're sleeping on each other's sofas. Serving others. Actually, with serving others, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm quite proud of what this community has done. Our strategy is to work with partners. So we don't say that we should come in, start from scratch. No one else knows what they're doing. We're going to save the city. We're going to serve the city. We're going to feed the homeless and clothe the ex-offenders and all that stuff. No, we say there's great, great, great organizations. There's fantastic charities out there. Let's partner with them. Let's support them. Let's provide money for them. Let's provide manpower. Let's volunteer with them. And so serving has been a great thing. And we've done great things with 125, the charity that works with women caught in street sex prostitution. We've done amazing things with the Crisis Center. We've done great things with the Noise and all these different things happening. There's loads of different things that we could say happening around in Bristol. And we've been part of that. Earlier this year, we did Love Running. 500 people running the 10K. Over 500. We raised £120,000. There's never been a more incredibly productive Love Running. We raised more money per person than we've ever raised before. One of the biggest mass entries into a road race of all time. One of the biggest charity kind of mass events. And we've given that money all over the place to Syrian children refugees and to real needs in our city. And do you know what? With Metro, more people in Metro did Love Running than any other church in Bristol. Allow me to brag, allow me to boast. More than 50% of you signed up. We were the fat and the frantic. We were the weary and the sweaty. Some of us were fast. Well done, Matt. Overtook me in Spike Island with a big grin on his face. I don't care, because so many of us took part. So good. So we find we're having people love one another. We're helping people serve their city. And the other one that we talk about is following Jesus, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, you want to be my disciple? You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. He says, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you want to hold on to it, it's going to slip through your fingers. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, lose their soul? This one I can't boast about, and I can't brag about, because actually we haven't been that amazing at helping people follow Jesus. When I say follow, I mean go to a greater degree of commitment to Jesus. You know, the kind of commitment that Jesus calls people to do. Jesus had the disciples around him, and he had the crowd following him, and they listened to his stuff. They loved his stuff. They had the badge, hey, we're Jesus gang. We love Jesus. He's awesome. So cool. Hey, I was there. Feeding of the 5,000, little picture of a sandwich. It's all on their badge. But Jesus says to them, yeah. But if you really want to follow me, you got to go deeper. This can't just be a skin-deep, superficial, shallow, cardboard cutout Christianity. This has to be something which is bone-deep, which is transforming you, challenging you, calling out of you greater levels of commitment. This has got to be something where actually there is a bit of a cost. Do you know why? You can't have purpose without some kind of cost. You can't have purpose without taking a little bit of pain. Purpose actually calls out of us deep things. And we haven't been great at that. In a sense, I'm not making excuses or apologies for that because, hey, we're only 2 years old. How many toddlers do you see taking up a cross? We're just starting out. But we've got to the point now where we think, actually, we really want to go for this. We want to make this something that becomes our big, big emphasis and focus for the next, well, for as long as we're around. But we're going to be working on it like we've never worked on it before. And if I'm totally honest, okay, lean in. I'm going to tell you something which people like me shouldn't say to people like you. You ready? Don't repeat this. Most churches are not very good on this. You could even argue that we're better than most. Most churches, when it comes to following Jesus, helping people really follow Jesus, not just be a Sunday Christian, not just go to church, not just sing some songs, not just believe some stuff. Most churches, they don't do that great. They don't do that amazing. And that's why a lot of people outside the church look at Christians, they say, there's no difference to you than anybody else. You're just the same as everybody else. Because they haven't gone bone deep with it. They haven't paid the cost. They haven't paid the price. They're not taking up their cross. They're not following Jesus. They're not like Jesus. Do you know the early Christians, the early disciples, they were called Christians in the first century because people around them, they said, you look like little Jesuses. You're like little Christ, so sweet. You're like Christ babies. And that's what the word Christian means. It means little Christ, kind of Christy, like a Trekkie Christy. It was a bit, well, it was a complete insult. You know, it was like a derogatory term. But it stuck because people said, yeah, it's funny, and I'm still laughing, but actually they are kind of like Jesus. They're just weird and unpredictable, and they give themselves to others, and they're so generous, and they're so gracious, and they're so kind, and they break down walls, they break down barriers. They don't care who they love, they don't care who they care for. They put themselves on the line, they lay themselves down for others. They are full of wisdom and full of purpose, and yeah, they are kind of like Christ. And so Christian and disciple, the same thing. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure that I'm a disciple. Again, it's wrong. It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, well, I'm British, but I'm not sure I'm English. Or English, I'm not sure I'm British. If you're English, then you're British, okay? Disciple, following Jesus. And so this is what we're going to do. First of all, mentoring. We're starting a brand new scheme, a system, a program. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to take us a while. But we're doing mentoring. We're getting people together in twos and in threes to do following Jesus at a more fundamental, intentional level. Some of you, you've been superficial as a Christian for years. Superficial. It's just stayed skin deep. It's a little bit of Jesus icing on the cake of your life. And actually, as someone gets together with you and you get together with someone else or a couple of people, you're going to go deeper. You're going to become more and more like Jesus. And Jesus is going to become more and more woven into the fabric of your life. Because as great as hubs are, they can only take us so far. I need someone who's on my case. It's a bit like being in a gym and you've got your buddy to help spot you the weights. You know what that's like when you're bench pressing and there's a really heavy weight and you've got your mate to help spot you? Okay, I don't know what that's like either, but I've heard and I've seen it in films. And I know it's a good illustration. I'm using it. I've never done it in my life. I'm just on the treadmill walking, listening to music. But having someone, a buddy, a running buddy, a training buddy that can push you and you can push them and they can say, how are you doing? How does that work in mentoring, in your faith? Well, it works like this. It works when you get together. We'll be getting together individuals together once a month and we'll be going through, all right, let's look. Where are you weak in your Christian life? Where would you like to get better? What would you like to move forward? How would you like to know God? For some people, it's like, yeah, I have this issue. It's still porn. Others, it's like, well, I just don't read my Bible. Others, I don't know how to read my Bible. Some people, I pray, but it's like, dear God, bless me and my cat. Amen. I want to go deeper. There's got to be more to it. You know, for some people, it's like, well, I have money issues and I just feel anxious. Or for some people, it's like, yeah, it doesn't make any difference in my workplace. What's that all about? That doesn't make sense. It's not like being like Jesus. And you figure out, okay, where is it that you want to do better, get further, go deeper with Jesus? Okay, let's work on that. And we're going to spend some time, we're going to look at actually how to have the best prayer life you've ever had. I need someone to be on my case, but I also need a little bit of help. And not only are we going to be talking good, but we've got, basically there's an app for that. We're going to use real world 21st century modern stuff to help one another develop and grow. It's not like a heavy thing. You don't have to do it. If you're thinking, oh, that sounds a little bit Moonies to me, you know, a little bit kind of weird and wacky, that's fine. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. In fact, I won't let you do it unless you're in a hub in the first place. Unless you're in a hub where you're loving one another, building community, we're not even going to accept you. So don't worry. It's fine. You don't have to do it. But for those of us that say, actually, I want to go deeper in my faith, then we recognize that it's buddies, it's friends, it's peers that help. And sometimes I'm going and I'm running with someone who's about the same level as me, and we encourage one another. And sometimes I'm working with someone who's a little bit further on, and they're pouring into my life and helping me, being a bit of a sounding board when I've got questions. And sometimes we're doing it as a three, and we're able to just ping things backwards and forwards. But we're going to provide a program. It's going to be something that probably to get it really sorted, it's going to take us the next year, 2 years, minimum. But we're going to work on it. And we're going to see people that come into this community, they find Jesus. And then they're going to be put into little mini communities where for the very first time, for some of them in their lives, they're going to feel, I belong to people who have no strings attached. You know, it is total choice-based, other-oriented, self-sacrificial love. And I'm experiencing it. And I feel like I'm in a safe place. And then they're going to go deeper in their faith. They're going to become more like Jesus. And these people, they are simply going to change the city. I'm going to change the city. So how we have had our little purpose statement as a church, we've had it find, follow, love, serve. We made a little nice phrase. You see it around. You see the find, follow, love, serve on the t-shirts. We exist, our purpose, to help people find and follow Jesus, mobilizing them to love one another and serve the city. And as we've looked at this whole thing of mentoring, following, really going for following, I kind of had this thought. We just thought, you know what? When we say we exist to help people find and follow Jesus, it's almost like the follow bit gets lost in the find bit. Find and follow. Like they just go together. You find Jesus, follow Jesus. Actually, we want to put this a little bit more down the line. We want to give it a little bit more emphasis. And actually, we realize that for most people, you find Jesus and then you start to find others and you make those loving communities. And then from that place of being in a hub, then you feel like, oh yeah, I want to go further and deeper in my Christian faith. So it kind of doesn't make sense to follow before you're in a hub. That the hub is like the basic thing. That's like everybody. We want to follow. So what we're doing is we're just literally going to swap those two around. So it's find first, then go into a loving community, that's your hub, and then go further as you follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, then that naturally leads you and you'll be provoked and prompted, inspired to serve those around you. And serving is great, you know, we can serve in this church, we can serve with one another, that's like training wheels serving, but it always has to end up out there on the street in the real world where the real pain is and the real need is. And so we've changed our purpose statement. We said, do you know what? Let's reprint the t-shirts. Kate hates me, but we're doing it anyway. And change all our publicity, change all our materials, because we want to say what we want to do. And we want to show who we want to be. And we want to make it as clear, as simple, as obvious, and as easy. And we want you to be able to buy into it at the level that you feel good to do. So this is it. We exist to help people find Jesus and love one another, then follow Jesus and serve their city. Maybe it's not as elegant as what we had before. And if you think about it, Jesus is in there twice, which is like really bad writing. But I don't mind Jesus being in my life twice. And I don't mind bad writing. I just want it to be clear, so you know where you are. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to look and figure out, where am I and where do I want to go? Because let me bring you back once again, before we pray, to the purpose that Jesus has. He says this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Because he's the boss, because he is the OG, because he has all authority, because everything looks to him, is under him, is for him. He says, because of this, this is my wish. Make disciples as you go, baptize, and as you teach. And then he says this, and this is amazing. And surely, definitely, absolutely, positively, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, you follow my purpose. You fulfill my vision for your life. And you will know my presence, my reality, like you've never known it. And it will be for the ages. It will be for eternity. You get to be part of a purpose that lasts forever. As a result of what happens with this community, with this church, in these next few weeks, months, and years, eternity, the ages, will be affected, will be changed. People will be in the kingdom of God because of what you did. Because of the commitment that you're about to make this evening, people's lives will be forever changed, for eternity. Let's go back to your granddad, his dad. You don't know his name, and now you feel a little bit awkward and kind of bad. But here's the reality, and this is the good news. I'm going to leave you on an up. You might not know his name, but if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here. He did something, and if you don't know what that is, ask the person next to you. But because of choices that he made, because of places that he went, because of decisions that he took, you're here. And let me tell you this. If Jesus does not come back, then in a generation, in years to come, maybe in decades, there will be people in this city and abroad whose lives are irrevocably, irretrievably, undeniably affected because of what you did. The city itself changed because of what you did. Eternity itself changed because of what you did. That is a purpose. That's great. That's a purpose for the ages. And I'm going to invite you right now to join with me and to figure out, okay, where do I fit in? How do I go with this? It's not just a nice PowerPoint. Hey, we got a new, slightly different order of our vision statement. Yay. No, this is about, okay, let's say, where are we on this statement? I want you to take the card that is on your seat. And I want you to find a pen. And I want you, you don't have to do this if you're new here and you're just thinking, man, this is intense. You don't have to do this. But if you're up for it, I'd like you to say where you are. So if you're a Christian here, you're a Jesus person, you know Jesus, you've asked him into your life, undefined, just say, hey, I found Jesus. It's a cliche, but it's true. But if you've got questions, then tick, I'd like to do an Alpha course. And I'll invite you to come and join me. I'm speaking at the first one in October. If you're already in a hub, and the hub's starting up in the next couple of weeks, tick, hey, I'm in a hub. It's all good. All good in the hood. I'm in a hub. But if you're not, you think, actually, yeah, this is the next step for me. I'd love to do that. Then tick that. And if you're in a hub and you think, yeah, I'd like to be mentored, then you can tick that. If you're not in a hub, and you know I said, if you're not in a hub, we won't take you. That's true, but you can still tick it. So if you think, yeah, I really would like someone to come alongside me, to help me, to give me a little bit of friendship. I'd love to have a kind of accountable relationship with someone who's got my back, who's for me. It's not heavy, but just someone that's saying, hey, have you thought about doing this? Or this worked for me? Or how are you doing? How's it going at work? How's that nightmare boss going? Yeah, I'd love to have that. You can tick that box. And then the same with volunteering. And then you put your name and you put your email. And That will really help us. And then when you've done that, that's all about you, and that's great. But I want you to then take this little tag, and I want you to write one person's name on the back of it. Just their first name, so it's not weird. But just their first name. This is a person who you want to be like Andrew, who did with his brother, to go to them and say, hey, I found something. I really want you to know. This is someone that you would really love to get what you have got. Might be someone at work who doesn't know Jesus. Might be a friend. It might be a family member. Might be a flatmate. Might be someone down your street. Might be someone that lifts the weight when you are at the gym. Write their name down. And that is going to be a little prayer. We're going to attach it to helium balloons. We're going to release them into the atmosphere like we do every year on our birthday. It's our little birthday tradition. I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to worship. But as you do this, fill in this form and then fill in the little tag. And when you come up, we're going to give you a birthday card, a Metro birthday card, a card that has the Metro brand new purpose statement on, something that you can put in your wallet or on your desk or in a little nook or cranny, something to remind you of what we have committed ourselves to. And if you think, whoa, it's all a bit heavy, it's a bit intense, that's okay. You can just take it, and you can take your own time. And it could take you the next 5 years to find Jesus, and that's okay, and we will allow it, and Jesus will allow it. But it's important that everyone has a purpose that's bigger than themselves. So you bring these two to us, and we give you a card in return. And we're going to worship God, and then we're going to celebrate the birthday. Then we're going to go out onto the balcony. We're going to release the balloons, and all the angels will clap. So let's pray right now, and let's ask that Jesus helps us. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a good, good God, that you're worth following, you're worth serving, that you call us to find you, to love one another, to follow you, and to serve the world that you've put us in. And I pray, dear God, that you do something inside of our hearts. Lord, as even right now, there's that rise within us, that excitement, that sense of possibility. Give us faith for what you can do in our lives. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for this church, this little Metro baby that we have, such a fantastic thing to be part of. Thank you that you gave us this privilege of being part of this. And I want to pray that this church, this community would grow as we grow. And it would change people's lives as it goes forward. In the name of Jesus. Amen.